2007. Announce first thing that House Bill 3308 will be carried over. We're going to have a meeting on Monday, April 30th at 1 p.m. 3308 will be carried over, and we're going to have one other resolution. Open a public hearing on House Bill 3197. Mr. Keller?
Thank you, sir. House Bill 3197, we last heard this bill on March 27th and had a companion bill, House Bill 3305. The direction from the committee was for a work group to form and combine the two bills, and we have that in the Dash 1 Amendment. The Dash 1 Amendment changes the health care provider in the practice of medicine to health care provider of health care services, allows a tax credit each year of $1,000 when health care services are provided to at least 10 patients and fewer than 10 patients in rural community, requires the Office of Rural Health to establish criteria for certifying health care providers, report to the legislative interim committees on revenue prior to October 1st of each year, the number of health care providers who qualify for tax credit and prior to December 31st of each year, the administrator of the TRICARE contracts report to the Office of Rural Health, the number of patients that each health care provider has provided service. This has a subsequent referral to revenue.
Okay. General Caldwell.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Brigadier General Mike Caldwell, Deputy Director of the Military Department. 3197 is a good bill. I highly recommend that this committee move it along, and we'll watch it through revenue and appreciate your support on that. The bill basically is, and I know you're familiar with it, so I'm not going to bore you with it, but what we have seen, and I think I had a good example that will kind of put it fresh in your mind today. We have a young soldier, female soldier, who is pregnant. She's been off for the last 2 or 3 weeks getting ready for delivery of her child. Unfortunately, she's like 2 weeks overdue now, and because of the system that we have, she's TRICARE. There's only one physician here in this town that she can go to get care, and a lot of the people this morning were in a big hover because, and these were mainly ladies, females, and they said, you know, she ought to be getting a cesarean, yada, yada, yada. It's her third child. She said, you know, something's wrong here, and they're all worried about it. And I said, well, you know, who's her doctor? And they said, she's on TRICARE, General. Damn it, this is the problem. So whether we like it or not, what we have is insurance triage going on, and these are soldiers. These are people that are soldiers, Marines, whatever they may be. They're serving their country, but yet because of the lack of physicians available, I think they're treated as a second-class citizen. Maybe this bill will help get more doctors into the play, and we can give our people better selection. We're also, for the committee's edification, we're working with our congressional delegation to attempt to get the TRICARE cost per procedure are tied to Medicare and Medicaid. And what we're working with three of the delegate members right now is to try to get a bill in the congressional side that will pay the highest rate of whatever that is, whatever portion of the country has the highest rate for a tonsillectomy or whatever it may be, that TRICARE gets that rate. And that will increase, here in Oregon, will increase the payment to the doctors considerably. I don't know the exact numbers, but the doctors tell me it's considerable. And I think that'll help us as well. So we got two prongs going here, one on the state and one on the federal. I can't guarantee either one of them will ever come to fruition, but certainly it's an effort we're trying to do because we've recognized that. And the last thing I'll tell you is that in October, the Congress has authorized all guardsmen and reservists, if they choose to be a member of the TRICARE program, they can elect to do so by a payment of $400 or $500 per year. Now, needless to say, we all know what the difficulty is in getting health care in the general population. There's 8,000 guardsmen. I'm going to guess there's around 2,000 to 3,000 reservists in this state. So there's a 10,000, 11,000, and I would guess the majority of them, probably over 60-70% of them, don't have as good a coverage. With all of its problems, they probably don't have as good. They probably have none. So now you're going to see a growth in the population. So I think this is very timely. This is a good bill, and I think that we should move it along and see if we can't work the other issues simultaneously.
Okay, thank you. Any questions?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just trying to understand how this credit will work in the particularly rural communities. I think many of our providers are simply employees of a hospital system, so it's not like the one-on-one payment to the doc, if you will. And so where does the tax credit come in for physicians that are salaried employees of a healthcare system?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Cowan, it's a great question, and I understand, you know, the practice of medicine has changed dramatically where people are employed now. I can't answer that question. I don't know the answer to that. And I don't know, maybe Mr. Warnock, who worked on some of the changes and the meshing of the bill, perhaps Greg can come up and maybe he has an answer, but I don't.
Okay. I appreciate that. I don't raise it. I mean, it certainly doesn't mean that I would oppose the bill, but I guess I throw that out as a suggestion that we may want to figure that methodology out, because that really is the case in most of our communities.
And it would be very disappointing to pass something thinking we're going to do some good and then suddenly find out that it really had no impact on the people providing the service because of that business relationship that they have with that hospital entity. I agree. I think that would be extremely disappointing.
Mr. Warnock.
I'm Greg Warnock, Oregon War Veterans Association, Salem. Chair Barker, Representative Cowan. From my understanding, after talking with TRICARE, the value of this bill is for them to go and sign new contracts with new physicians in rural communities that will provide TRICARE services for the veterans and for members of the military. It's also my understanding that hospitals, while they do employ physicians and healthcare providers, most of the hospitals utilize local physicians for their care. In other words, a physician will have a private or a professional corporation, a local office, and they will contract with the local hospital to provide care at the hospital. So I think it's just the opposite from what you've just said. The caregivers aren't necessarily employees of the hospital. They're employees of their own corporations and then function in the hospital setting. That's from my understanding.
I apologize for interrupting you, but truly I am very familiar with the situation in Lincoln County. Samaritan Health Services out of Corvallis owns most of the primary care physician clinics. My son is a physician in one of them. He is a salaried employee of the hospital, and there are very, very few independent physicians in our community. So I don't want to leave the impression on the table that this would allow reaching out to more physicians in our community. There may be one or two that for whom this might personally be an incentive, but I think most of our hospital-employed physicians do accept TRICARE at this point, but I think there needs to be a piece in it that you figure out that system.
Recognizes that phenomenon, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Chair Barker, Representative Cowan, we have been working with TRICARE to try to answer as many questions as we might perceive would come from here. We don't have all the information. We'll get an answer for you on that.
Great.
And see if we can make an adjustment to the bill if we need to, or see if there's a way to provide some incentive, an additional incentive perhaps, to physicians that are located in hospitals.
I wouldn't see it as necessarily an amendment to the bill, but in the rollout of your process, I think it's something you really, really do need to be aware of.
We'll look at that.
Any questions? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
And I had Mr. Gulliver. Did you want to testify? She had you come at the same time.
Thank you, Chair Barker. For the record, I'm David Gulliver, the Chief of Staff for Representative Donna Nelson, the sponsor of the bill. And I regret that the representative is unable to attend. She's at a funeral of a dear friend today. I just wanted to let the committee know that the representative is fully supportive of the amendments to the bill and encourages your support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Chair Barker, if I may, this bill comes back to this committee after combining Paul Evans's bill with 3197. And so the changes or the commentary you heard in previous testimony, we've been able to combine both of those concepts into this one bill, and that's what the amendments are.
Thank you very much for all your work you've done on that. Thank you. Okay. Close the public hearing on House Bill 3197. Open in the work session.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3197 to be amended with the -1 amendment.
Representative Schaffer moves the -1 amendments. Are there any objections? No? Okay. So moved. Seeing no objections, the -1 amendments are adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3197 to the Committee on Revenue with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Representative Schaffer moves House Bill 3197 to the Committee on Revenue with a due pass as amended recommendation. Is there any further discussion?
Just one quick comment, Mr. Chair. In the last session, we talked extensively on the rural health care issues for deployed soldiers and their families. And I worked, headed up the rural health care group trying to expand rural health care in order to help those doctors that were willing to help those veterans or those deployed soldiers in the local communities. And two particular areas came to our attention. One is Umatilla County and Klamath County, in which there is a dramatic shortage simply because the doctors don't accept the TRICARE portion. And this will go a long ways in helping those doctors. And I concur with Representative Cowan's observation. We need to make sure the right people get the right stuff. But this will do a lot to help those people get medical care where they're flat out denied now.
Thank you. I call the roll, please.
Representative Gokwitz?
Aye.
Representative Cowan?
Aye.
Representative Schaffer?
Aye.
Representative Scott?
Aye. Excused.
Chair Barker?
Aye. Motion carries. Next, we'll open a public hearing on House Bill 3156. Mr. Keller.
House Bill 3156, the committee last heard this bill on April 3rd. There was a question that arose regarding Senate Bill 83, which is modifying the terminology of a disabled person in statute. The question was if it would have an impact on this bill. House Bill 3156 uses the term disabled veteran. Senate Bill 83 would not change that definition.
Is there a referral on this?
Yeah, we have a referral to revenue. Thank you.
Okay, and since we already had testimony, we don't have anybody signed up today. We can I'll close the public's hearing and open a work session.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3156 to the Committee on Revenue with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Schaffer moves House Bill 3156 to the Committee on Revenue with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Representative Cowan.
Question. The questions that were raised in the last time we talked about it, is this any disability, as little as 10% disability, and what the fiscal impact to local government might be? Did we get any answers to those questions?
No, ma'am. It has a subsequent referral, so we wouldn't be able to get a fiscal at this time.
It goes to revenue.
That's not a fiscal impact to the state government. The impact is to local governments who collect the property tax, for whom this is an increased reduction. And we were talking about was as little as 10% disability appropriate. Those were the discussions we had in committee last time.
Well, the disabled veteran, as it's described in 408.225, it doesn't indicate the amount of disability. It just refers to a person entitled to disability compensation under laws administered by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs. A person who is discharged or released from active duty for a disability incurred or aggravated in the line of duty, or a person who was awarded the Purple Heart for wounds received in combat.
Feel free to move it. I really need to not support it without the answers.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Questions.
So that would highlight it for revenue. Okay. Call the roll, please.
Representative Gokwitz?
Aye.
Representative Cowan?
No.
Representative Schaffer?
Aye.
Representative Scott?
Excused.
Chair Barker?
Aye. Motion carries, and that will make, we'll note that too, revenue.
Thank you. Yeah.
Those local governments, they got all that money.
Yeah.
We don't got to worry about that.
Yeah. Just rolling in the dough.
The interest of moving this hearing along, we won't continue this line of conversation.
Yeah.
Let me move out of the way before you throw something.
Yeah. Okay, open a work session on House Bill 2832. And General Caldwell, why don't you come up first, and then we'll have the veterans groups come up after you. Okay. And we have dash three amendments on this bill.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Brigadier General Mike Caldwell, Deputy Director of Military Department. I work with the Director of Veterans Affairs, Mr. Willis, and you might want to actually get him up here at the same time.
Okay, why don't you come on, Mr. Willis?
We worked together to come up with what we thought was a good solution for formation of this group, and have it effectively do the job that I think the intent of this legislation is designed to do. And I'll defer to Jim to tell you what his he did all the work. He came up with the scheme of maneuver, and I agreed. That's pretty much how it went. And it was a good piece of work. So,
okay.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Jim Willis, Director of the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. I understood very clearly what the good representatives were interested in accomplishing through House Bill 2832, but I believe, as I've testified before, I didn't think it went far enough. I thought it needed to identify more broadly what I think would be the presumptive illnesses associated with what is broadly called the Gulf War Syndrome. So that's why this bill has been broadened to some degree, and that's also why, in talking to General Caldwell, and he in turn the Adjutant General, that the Adjutant General wanted to be in a position to name someone to the task force, probably the Surgeon General or a member of their staff, because these are medical issues. I concur with that. I think it is my department's responsibility to head this group. I'm happy to do that. I think this is a good amendment and a good bill, and I urge your passage.
Thank you. Any questions on the panel? Okay, Mr. Warnock and Mr. McDonald.
Mr. McDonald, United Veterans of Oregon, just to state that we concur with the bill.
Thank you.
Greg Warnock, Oregon War Veterans Association, the same. We support the bill wholeheartedly.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
And we have the dash three amendments. Are there any questions about those? We're already, I think we're on work session.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the dash three amendments into House Bill 2832.
Representative Boquist moves that dash three amendments into House Bill 2832. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, hearing no objection, the dash threes are in.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House Bill 2832 to the floor with a due pass as amended.
Representative Boquist moves House Bill 2832 to the floor with a due pass as amended. Is there any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Boquist?
Aye.
Representative Cowan?
Aye.
Representative Shelford?
Aye.
Representative Scott?
Excused?
Representative
Barker? Aye. And let's see, maybe I'll have Shields carry it. And I'll ask Representative Shields if he'll carry it, and if he won't, we'll get something else.
I'll back him up if he does.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, we'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2013. Mr. Keller, please.
House Bill 2013, it has two referrals to revenue, then to Ways and Means, and it creates the Oregon Military Family Relief Program in the Oregon Military Department. There are no amendments.
Thank you.
Okay. General Caldwell, please.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Brigadier General Mike Caldwell, Deputy Director, Military Department. This bill expands what we're doing right now with respect to our relief fund. I asked that the bill be heard today for two reasons. One, the expansion is certainly not without merit. I think the addition of the family and members of the family who have had certain issues hit them is certainly, I think, good public policy. I'm not so certain we couldn't do it now with the current language, but the primary reason that I wanted this committee to have an opportunity to weigh in on this bill was that we had originally anticipated that the checkoff system that was adopted last session would generate a far larger amount of revenue than it appears it's going to do. Two factors. One was our fund was, as we were preparing our budget for the governor's submission, our fund was, looked as if it would last through the biennium and also probably have some residual left over. We thought by adding the checkoff into that we would have plenty of revenue to go ahead and do what we've done over the last 2 years. Unfortunately, whatever the cause was, the circumstances changed. The fund was depleted. We went to the emergency board a supplemental emergency board that happened during this session to move monies from the hunting and fishing license account into the emergency fund account because it was depleted. We have no line item in our budget, nor did we testify before it. By moving this bill along, it will at least force that issue back to Ways and Means, and hopefully we can adjust it then and maybe make our cause known. May not be the best method to do that. There may be other methods to do it, and if you have greater ideas, I'm certainly willing to work with you on that without this particular piece of legislation. But this seemed like the only thing there. It does really clarify the fact that we can't expand down to family members where the other bill is, the law is fairly vague on that now, even though we have done that. So that's my testimony. I know that Section 3 of the bill is going to be problematic relationship to another bill that went through revenue that the United Veterans is supporting, which would rotate the names off of the front page so there's a round-robin affair on the front page of the tax bill. So this bill would be in direct conflict with that bill, which has already passed revenue. So just so you know what I know.
Okay, thank you. Any questions, the General? Representative Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. General, can you just highlight the status of the reallocation, the supplemental reallocation that would reallocate funds to the emergency, to the military emergency fund? Where is that in Ways and Means process right now?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Boquist, it's still not been brought up on the calendar. It did go through the subcommittee, and I was told last week that it was going to be heard very soon. But I don't know. I have not noticed it on the calendar at all. And I forget the bill number, but it hasn't come up, which also has another problematic effect with us because that's where our Katrina money is, too. That's in that bill.
Hold on, Mr. Chair. If you'd just be kind enough maybe to return to the committee members that bill number so we might place a note to our colleagues that we have veterans or that we have people that need emergency funds, and we have Katrina money sitting there that needs to be allocated to the military department for emergency services, and it's sitting in Ways and Means. So if you could get that bill number, I'm sure many of us would be willing to at least speak to the folks down there and see if they could prod that along.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Boquist, I'll make sure and do that hopefully before the meeting is done. I will say that other service organizations, Oregon War Veterans Association and other charitable organizations, we have gotten pretty adept at tapping them and sending people to them, giving them heads up, and they have been very generous across the board, whether it be the VFW funds or whatever the funds may be, of helping these families that are in difficulty. So I would testify before you today that I believe that all of the needs that have arisen during this interim period have been taken care of. But it's just added another layer that we had to go through to make sure these people are getting getting funds that desperately need them. So I will take care of that.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Warnock. Thank you. Are you done? I'm sorry. Okay.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Greg Warnock, Oregon War Veterans Association. We support the theme of this bill and the purpose of it, to, as the general said, to bring it before Ways and Means to actually fund this account. As the general mentioned, the National Guard, the military department, has requested funding from organizations like ours. We've been able to raise and contribute just over $20,000 for emergency needs in the last probably 90 days. Because the fund has been depleted, the needs are still legitimate and real, we've had to raise the money somehow. And so they've come to some of the charitable organizations to see if we can help, and fortunately we've been able to. However, it's frustrating to us because this account has been established, but it's not been yet funded. And that's, we think that presenting this bill and moving this along a little faster with some emphasis from this committee will help fund that bill appropriately. And I'm willing to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions? Okay, thank you, Mr. Warnock. Mr. McDonald.
My name is Matt McDonald, and I'm sorry I signed on that sheet wrong. I should have signed as Chairman of the Charitable Checkoff Commission, not United Veterans of Oregon. I am the Chairman of the Charitable Checkoff Commission, appointed by Governor Kitzhafer. When Governor Kulongowski became the governor, the chairman resigned, and the members elected me chairman. We meet once a year normally to ensure that the rules set up by the legislature are followed by those charities that are listed either in the booklet or on the tax form. Over the years, we've noticed that the people on the tax form, each one, make more than the 17 that are not on the tax form but in the tax booklet. We felt this was unfair and not equitable. So we came up with Senate Bill 859, which I have a copy here of, and the Department of Revenue came up with a new tax form, a draft for a new tax form that would enlarge from 6 to 12 entities to be on the tax form itself, therefore bringing in more money for the charities. The commission voted unanimously for the changes that are being made, where each of the charities will rotate on and off the tax form, therefore making it fair and equitable. Since I've been on the Charitable Checkoff Commission, there's only one entity that has gone through the legislature to get onto the Charitable Checkoff. All others have followed the legislative guide, which tells them how they can get on the Charitable Checkoff. And this bill is just to bypass the legislative rules for getting on the checkoff and go directly to the legislature. This bill also is in direct conflict with the 859, which would locate all the charities, plus the Oregon National Guard, as the Oregon Military Financial Assistance, already in the charitable checkoff system, and I'm not sure that two entities from the same organization would be legal. And if he comes before the commission, we're going to ask the Attorney General for a decision. But I am certainly not for short-stopping the legislature's rules of how to get on the charitable checkoff. I don't think it's really proper to go through the legislature when they already have set up a system to get on the checkoff. I also think that it would be fair and equitable if everyone rotates on the checkoff system, thereby everyone gets an equal share of their chance to be on the tax form and get more money. And I'd recommend a do not pass on this bill, because it is in conflict with Senate bill that has passed the Senate committee unanimously, I'm sure will pass the Senate, and I'm sure will pass the House. This is a bad bill. It's in conflict, and it doesn't follow the rules set by the legislature to get on the charitable checkoff as one of the charities. The rules are specific. The reason for the commission to be in existence is to make sure the rules are followed. And when they bypass the commission, they sometimes think that they're not answerable to the commission afterwards. And we had to put one of the charities that went through the legislature, the initial charities, on probation because it wouldn't appear before the commission to show us their books, to show that where they were spending the money. So I think it's a bad bill, and I'd recommend a no vote.
Thank you. There are questions? Anybody have questions? Okay, thank you. Okay, close the... Close the public hearing and open a work session on House Bill 2013.
Would you like a motion, Mr. Chair?
Yeah, I'll take a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2013 to the Committee on Revenue, then to the Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. And if it gets through all that, well, must be a heck of a bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Representative Schaffer moves House Bill 2013 to the Committee on Revenue and then to the Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass. Is there any further discussion?
I just want to be part of the hearing. I mean, I would agree with the good general. It's a convoluted way to get a placeholder downstairs. But having said that, and having been in the closing sessions of funding many of these funds in, what was it, August the last 2 years ago?
Ain't going to be this year.
Yeah.
I was in the hospital. I don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people got the easy
job. Yeah, that's right.
It is a convoluted way to get a placeholder in, but we need a placeholder. So.
Okay, thank you. Call the roll, please.
Representative Boquist?
Aye.
Representative Cowan?
Aye.
Representative
Shoffler?
Aye.
Representative Scott?
Excused?
Chair Barker?
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, so we have the script on this one. This is the referral. Open a work session on House Bill 3294. Is there a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Excuse me. I move House Bill 3294 to the Committee on Elections, Ethics, and Rules with no recommendation as to passage.
Representative Schaffer moves House Bill 3294 to the Committee on Elections, Ethics, and Rules with no recommendation as to passage. Is there any discussion? And what's happened is we're at the end here, and there's amendments that are coming and flowing and coming, and so we're going to move this on down to preserve it, keep it alive. Without any discussion, will you call the roll, please?
Representative
Boquist?
Aye.
Representative Cowan?
Aye.
Representative
Schaffer?
Aye.
Representative Scott?
Chair Barker?
Aye. Motion carries. And let's see. 3308 already announced. If you weren't here at the beginning, we're carrying that over till Monday. And the next bill open a hearing, public hearing on House Bill 3202. Mr. Keller.
House Bill 3202 was last heard on April 19th. There were suggested amendments, which are included as the dash one. It removes the members of the Oregon National Guard and increases the tax credit to $6,000 for the employee of the Oregon Military Department Foreign Duties at the Oregon Youth Challenge Program. It has a subsequent referral to revenue.
Thank you. There are several people who want to testify. General Caldwell again, please, and Mr. Gulliver, and Greg Warnock, why don't you come up first? Please go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Brigadier General Mike Caldwell, Deputy Director of Military Department. We again support this bill. It's a good bill. It'll help us, given all the testimony previously, the amendment, I think is perfect and does what we want it to do, both in drilling guardsmen and reservists in Oregon, and also for the Youth Challenge Program and the issues we have there. With that, I'll take any questions if you have.
Any questions to General? Mr. Warnock.
Greg Warnock, Oregon War Veterans Association. We wholeheartedly support this bill and the amendments. We helped draft this concept to provide better benefits to National Guardsmen, and we're happy to also relay those benefits off to reservists. And our primary objective here, as you know, was to help staff the Oregon Youth Challenge Program and provide a consistency with their staff requirements. We wholeheartedly support this, and I'm willing to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? Mr. Oliver.
Thank you, Chair Barker. I'm David Gulliver, the Chief of Staff for Representative Nelson, and we urge the committee's support of this bill, and we support the amendment.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, panel. Kevin O'Reilly and Mr. McDonald, please.
My name is Matt McDonald, and I'm appearing as an Oregon citizen before you. I was a principal of an alternative high school, Woodburn, Jervis, North Marion. And as a principal, when I had students that weren't cutting it at the alternative high school, I sent them to the Youth Challenge Program. It's a good program. Several of my youngsters have come back. They're doing well. And anything we can do to support the program, we think should be done.
Okay, thank you. Mr. O'Reilly.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, I'm Kevin O'Reilly with the Oregon Paralyzed Veterans of America, and anything that promotes good education, we help support in this state.
Okay, great. Are there any questions? Okay, thank you. Close the public hearing on House Bill 3202 and open a work session.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3202 to be amended with the Dash 1 Amendment.
Representative Schaffer moves the Dash 1 Amendments. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3202 to the Revenue Committee with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Representative Schaffer moves House Bill 3202 to the Revenue Committee with a due pass as amended recommendation. Is there any further discussion? I call the roll, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Representative Schaffer.
Aye.
Representative Scott.
Excused? Aye. Motion carries. The committee will stand at ease until 2:15. We have just kind of a technical glitch that we didn't get House Bill 3196 posted until 2:15 the other day. So, in order to make it legal, so you have 25 minutes.
I'm going to the
bathroom. Yeah. Walk off the floor here. the Veterans Affairs Committee meeting on April 24th and open a hearing on House Bill 3196. Mr. Keller.
House Bill 3196 allows disabled veterans to qualify for the Oregon Health Plan benefits. This bill has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. We have two amendments, a dash one and a dash two. The dash one would add, as a qualifier, resides more than 30 miles from the nearest medical center operated by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs. Dash two would add, resides in an area defined as rural by the Office of Rural Health. Rural is defined as 10 or more miles from population centers of 30,000 or more.
Okay, thank you. General, were you saying you going to go with Amy's? Okay. Mr. Gulliver, do you want to come up first and maybe introduce the amendments, please?
Thank you, Chair Barker and committee members. For the record, my name is David Gulliver. I am the Chief of Staff for Representative Donna Nelson, the sponsor of the bill. I just wanted to talk to you briefly about the two amendments that are before you. We had asked Legislative Council to propose amendments for the bill to steer it more in line with our intentions to help rural disabled veterans who do not have access to the regional medical centers in Portland and Roseburg. We received two different amendments, and working with the Oregon War Veterans Association, we believe the dash two amendment is the better of the two.
Great. Thank you. Any questions?
I have a question about the bill itself.
Okay. Please.
If you're the appropriate person to ask.
I'll do my best, Representative.
Thank you, sir. I guess I'm curious. The intent of the measure is to allow disabled veterans to qualify for Oregon Health Plan benefits, but Oregon Health Plan recipients are based on categorical eligibility according to financial eligibility, you know that word, eligibility, and other sorts of things. So I'm not sure how this rolls into the eligibility pieces of the Oregon Health Plan delivery system.
Chair Barker, Representative Cowan, I think that Mr. Warnock here will address that in depth in his testimony.
Sorry to have rushed into it then.
That's quite all right.
That's my burning question.
Go ahead, Mr. Warnock, please.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, Greg Warnock, Oregon War Veterans Association. This is an unusual bill, and what we're trying to accomplish is provide a level of care to veterans that they are not currently receiving. And while it's true, there's frankly, the entire bill, except for our small change, describes the eligibility for the Oregon Health Plan. And all we're doing is adding a line establishing disabled veterans who live in a rural community to be able to access it as well. Speaking directly to the bill, I'd like to give some information about our intent here. We have for years been trying to figure out how to provide a higher level of care to vets who live away from the regional medical centers, the VA medical centers. And the problem is we've got about 10,000 veterans who live in rural communities that have access through the VA to clinical care, ongoing care. If they can get transported to the regional centers, then they get the care that they need. The purpose of this bill is really to provide urgent care to vets. And we didn't establish that in the bill, but we know that veterans who require emergency care, disabled veterans who need emergency care, can go to any ER and receive the care they need. They don't have to go to a VA hospital. If their needs are determined to be emergency, then they'll stabilize the patient and then eventually transport them at VA cost to a regional center. And also, if they need care on a clinical, normal, regular basis, They can set appointments to be seen at the local clinics. Most counties have, if not all counties, have a VA clinic. You can't just show up at the clinic, though. You have to have an appointment made at the hospital or through your primary care provider and then have that appointment be set at the local clinic. So it's not something that can be used for urgent care. In my testimony, my written testimony, I give an example about somebody who may have awakened dizzy and needs to see a doctor right away. Well, to make that person, if he wakes up and burns dizzy, take a 16-hour trip back and forth to Roseburg just to be seen, have his ears checked or his medication checked or whatever the issue may be, blood pressure, seems extraordinary, and it is an extraordinary hardship on the veteran. If he's had access through the Oregon Health Plan to see a local physician to get a very quick check to see whether or not his issue is emergency related or simply a blood pressure issue or an inner ear infection or whatever, that's something that can be done within an hour in a local facility. And so what we're trying to do is provide care to a vet who may not seek care. If this guy wakes up dizzy, he may not go to the doctor. He may not make arrangements to get an ambulance sent to him from Roseburg to be shipped to Roseburg and spend all the time just because of the amount of time and the extraordinary hardship. So we find that veterans, and from previous testimony and previous committee meetings in previous years, we know that veterans just simply don't get care. They don't go see the doctor. And while they have access to the VA health plans, they don't use it because they're too far away from it. So we've provided this bill. It's similar to the intent of previous bills. Frankly, we attached this to the Oregon Health Plan this year, because in the past we understood that the Oregon Health Plan was going to be dissolved and done away with. Now that we realize the Oregon Health Plan has been bolstered somewhat, we've decided to attach Oregon's greatest citizens to this plan. And if they need the care, they have access to it. If they don't need it, they don't use it. If they need emergency care, they don't use it. If they need clinical care, they don't use it. But if they need urgent care, they need it, and we want them to have access to it. We do agree that the -2 amendment is the better amendment, and so we support the bill with -2 amendments. And I'm willing to answer any questions you might have.
Were you not working on trying to get some federal legislation to match this as well?
Yes, we are. There are several levels of federal. There are several issues regarding the federal VA system. We have been in contact with Congresswoman Hooley's office. Her office is helping us with this bill, both on the federal level and doing research for the state level. In fact, she's submitted our request and our bill to the Congressional Research Agency, and they will have written testimony as to what the impact will be on the federal VA system and how it could help the Oregon veterans when this goes before the Ways and Means Committee. We'll have that testimony available.
Okay, thank you. Any questions?
Yes.
Okay. Please.
I'm struggling with this one. It looks like the attempt is to add this designation to the categorically needy under the Oregon Health Plan. The Oregon Health Plan is a very complex structure as far as eligibility, and I'm uncomfortable, I guess, as to whether or not this will accomplish what it is you're trying to do. Couple of things. The OHP has been bolstered somewhat. Actually, we're in danger of losing OHP standard this session, unless something changes. And your comment that most counties have a VA clinic, most if not all, I don't think so. That's very few counties that have a VA clinic. I know that folks in our county need to go to facilities in Portland. So I really appreciate the intent. There are also many of the providers in in Lincoln County right now whose practices are closed, meaning they don't accept Oregon Health Plan. So I wonder if you can address the challenge. Because someone is eligible for OHP coverage does not guarantee access, because the providers have to accept that coverage as well. Could you perhaps address whether you've thought about that issue?
Chair Barker, Representative Cowan, we realize this isn't a fix-all situation. It's just a solution that will help a number of these veterans that live in a rural community. The best solution is for the federal government to provide guaranteed care for all disabled veterans and provide that care at the local facilities. We're working on that. VA's been working on that. Office of Rural Health, the Congressional Office of Rural Health has been working on that. Our congressional delegation's working on it. And I know every single one of the veterans organizations are working on trying to get that level of care from the federal government. Until that happens, however, we do have a means. It's not perfect, but we do have a means to provide an additional level of care. We see this as supplementary care for those who have access to it through the Oregon Health Plan. We'd like them to have access to it. The question about whether or not it's available or will be available on a continued basis, we're not addressing that. As long as it is available, we'd like them to have access to it. And as far as VA clinics being not in every community, that makes our argument even stronger. We want them to have access to care. And establishing that VA clinics are not in every community bolsters our argument to support this bill.
Paul?
Oh, please.
When you refer to disabled veteran, are you assuming any level of disability from zero? From whatever, 10%, I guess, is the...
Chair Barker, Representative Cowan, we realize that people with a lower level of disability probably won't utilize this. To answer your question, yes, every level of disability. That's how we made this bill as simple as possible.
So then the intent of this bill would move every veteran with whatever level of disability into the categorically eligible classification within the Oregon Health Plan?
Yes, it would, technically. Whether they, Chair Barker, Representative Cowan, whether they want to access that and not go to their ongoing primary care provider, which, frankly, the VA offers very good health care. If they want to go to an Oregon Health Plan coverage instead of going to the VA, I just don't see that happening on a broad scale. To make the bill simple, we did not put in a special category of 80% to 100%, for example, of disability for qualifying as part of this bill to access the Oregon Health Plan.
And, Mr. Warnock, if a veteran had other insurance, and they would not be using this.
Chair Barker, that's correct.
I guess in that response, my concern then is around including that categorical eligibility without any definition of whether or not someone is privately insured. It's moving a population into the limited coverage under the health plan. And perhaps maybe this is more appropriate for work session discussion. I'm trying to figure out how to turn that into a question, and I can't, so I'll stop.
Okay. Any further questions? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. O'Reilly.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, my name is Kevin O'Reilly. I'm here representing the Oregon Paralyzed Veterans of America. And let's see, I think there are six clinics in the state. Bandon, Lake City, White City has a facility that contains a clinic. There's another one up on the north coast, and I don't recall the name. It's up near Astoria. There's one in Bend. There's one in Eugene. And then, of course, there's the hospitals in Roseburg and Portland, and I believe veterans in eastern Washington can access Walla Walla Clinic in Washington or the Boise VA Hospital. Just to tell you where the kind of where the clinics are located. We support this bill. It's been a problem for years, rural veterans accessing health care, particularly when the weather's inclement. This would help them do so. We think it's a fair bill. It's pretty sound. It doesn't open up a lot of veterans, particularly elderly veterans who are using VA health care system, have private insurance. Many others do not. This would help those who don't, and it would help them access the health care, quite frankly, that they earned. I'm personally not a big fan of letting the feds out of the responsibilities to provide health care to the veterans who earn that health care. But unfortunately, the system is the way it is, and sometimes it is difficult for those veterans to receive that health care that they earned. And if I have any questions, I can answer more than happy to.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. McDonald.
Mr. McDonald, United Veterans of Oregon. I wish someone had talked to the federal VA before they brought this bill here. I want to point out that beside the clinics and the VA hospital, Walla Walla, and the one in Portland, that the disabled American veterans provide a van service throughout the state to take veterans to veteran facilities for health care. When I saw this bill, I called the federal VA and I asked them what the effect would have on them. And there was a long pause. And they said, well, the budget people will have a field day. Because if the Oregon Health Plan picks up for the 40,000 plus disabled veterans in Oregon, their responsibility, the federal government's responsibility, the federal government will pull millions of dollars from Oregon and give it to other states. We think it's a bad plan. The intent may be good, but I don't want to see federal dollars flee from the state of Oregon. We have a disabled American veterans van plan. We have clinics throughout the state. If it's an emergency, the veteran can go to any ER in the state. If it's not an emergency, he can contact the disabled American veterans and they will get him to a veterans facility. I think it's a bad plan. I think it's bad for Oregon. It'll cost us millions of dollars in federal dollars, and it'll cost the state of Oregon millions of dollars to care for 40,000 disabled veterans. Thank you.
If there are any questions, I'd be glad to answer.
Representative Boquist.
How many of the 40,000 live in rural areas?
Well, I have no idea. I know there's 54,000 in Multnomah County, so you'd have 54,000 veterans, but I have no idea on the distribution of disabled veterans.
And how long does it follow up, Mr. Chair?
Please.
And how long does it take to get an appointment to veterans, federal veterans? Now?
Well, I'm 100% disabled, and it takes me approximately a week and a half to get in for a non-critical appointment. If I had a friend of mine that had a problem, and he got in within 24 hours. He went to the Salem Hospital first, and from the Salem Hospital immediately went up to the VA Hospital. So if it's critical, you get in immediately. If it's not critical, there is a time wait. The longest I've had to wait is 2 weeks.
Well, sir. Any explanation why it takes you 2 weeks, and we still have veterans that it's taken them 6 months to get appointments?
Not to my knowledge, and
well, that's fact. That's fact in the Federal Veterans Administration.
It may the only
why is there a difference between
you okay? And the only reason may be to see a specialist that I could think of that it takes 6 months.
Okay. Any further questions? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Warnock. Do you want to?
Chair Barker again, Greg Warnock, Oregon War Veterans Association. I've spoken to the president of United Veterans Groups of Oregon about this bill and have given him all of our information regarding this, and he informed me that UVGO did not review this bill as a entire organization and didn't make comments about whether they would support this or not. He also advised me that he would personally contact all of the members of UVGO, the state directors, and if there was a problem with this, he would contact me then. To answer Representative Boquist's question, there are 9,880 veterans who are disabled vets that live in rural communities.
Okay. Mr. McDonald, United Veterans of Oregon. We had a meeting after the Dick Light, who's the commander, talked to the gentleman beside me. We went over this again. We are against this bill still.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
One yes. more question, and Mr. Warnock.
Mr. Warnock, one more question.
As you were drafting the bill, did you have any conversation with the Department of Human Services and the administration of the Oregon Health Plan?
Yes, we have. Representative Cowan.
And their position?
Chair Barker, Representative Cowan, DHS has given us some advice about how to best promote this through the state system. There is some argument, if I can share that, between the policy directors at DHS and at the governor's office, between DHS and the military and veterans policy director. They're discussing this to see how best to resolve their issues. One of the concerns is that DHS will be required to file a waiver to ask for this category to be allowed access to the Oregon Health Plan. That's their primary issue, from what I understand. Otherwise, the state of Oregon will be required to pay for all of the care given through the Oregon Health Plan. Currently, the federal government offers 60% of the funding for the Oregon Health Plan and 40% provided by the state of Oregon. And in order to access those federal dollars, they need to ask for a waiver. They're trying to discuss this among themselves and see how best to do that.
Thank you. Anything further?
No, I just would ask what direction you plan to go.
With the committee, I'm inclined to go ahead and move it to Ways and Means. It goes to Ways and Means and see if some of this federal stuff can fall in place. I don't think there's going to be time, and I don't think it'll be able to get out of Ways and Means.
Yep.
With the -2 amendments.
The other, I guess, suggestion I would have is if I would be more comfortable with some testimony from DHS, we're meeting on Monday.
Monday for a couple of minutes.
But otherwise,
it takes special permission from the Speaker's office.
And that took special permission or it takes special permission.
Okay.
By setting next week's or Thursday's meeting up in Hillsborough, I kind of didn't have my eye on the ball there, and it got off that was the end of our time, or I wouldn't have set that date, and maybe we would have had a little more time. But
okay,
entertain the motion.
Oh,
I'm sorry. First, you probably can open a work session.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3196 to be amended with the -2 amendment.
Representative Schaffer moves the -2 amendments. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3196 to the Ways and Means Committee with a due pass as amendment recommendation.
Representative Schaffer moves House Bill 3196 to the Ways and Means with a due pass. Any discussion?
Comment, Mr.
Yes.
I think, like Representative Callan, if we had time, like to kind of look into the uninsured issue of whether you could put bumpers on this and whether we could get closer to the intent of limited emergency, urgent care, so on and so forth. And I'm kind of saying that so it goes into the record to encourage those people in Ways and Means to try and identify that, since we don't have time to properly, vet it at this level. But I will be against that.
Okay, thank you. And again, too, is that if it starts to move to the other side of the building, we'll meet with whoever. I don't know what committee would get that over there, but we certainly want to have some conversations. Yes.
Just for the record, I'm going to need to be a no on this for the same reason. Yeah. I'm just not comfortable with it having been adequately vetted, but I understand that can happen in Ways and Means.
Okay, thank you. Call the roll, please.
Representative Buckley?
Aye.
Representative Cowan?
No.
Representative Schaffer?
Aye.
Representative Scott?
Excuse.
Chair Barker?
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you for the delay, putting up the delay today, and meeting adjourned. Next meeting is Thursday in Hillsborough at 2 p.m.
2 a.m.
Yeah.